Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Wendy, you know who's here? It's our pal, noted pet expert Steve Dale.
Hi, noted pet expert.
I am noted.
You are noted.
Steve. Duly noted.
We were thinking to ourselves, there's no way in the world that we could connect noted pet expert Steve Dale, a.k.a. you, to O.J. Simpson, but we are incorrect. Tell us why.
Well, years ago, when I was writing for People magazine, I was covering the celebrity beat for People magazine, actually, out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew that I knew about pets, and they said, well, Steve, do you think the Akita could have known who did it?
Now, the explain
a
to
dog
people,
breed.
It's a dog breed, but what is the tie-in exactly with O.J. Simpson?
Oh, gosh. It was somebody's dog that was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Was it O.J.'s dog when it all happened? It was someone's dog. I don't remember. It was too long ago.
Yeah.
But I think it was O.J.'s dog that was right there watching
it. It was
this.
Nicole Brown Simpson's dog.
Okay, thank you.
Who lived with her, and remember, they had divorced by the time she was killed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was her dog.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I just didn't... But I do remember People magazine asking me about it, and I interviewed. I had to drive to Indiana for the closest Akita breeder. I mm-hmm. remember interviewing him, and the both of us thought, and I talked to other dog experts, how in the world—
The two others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So how in the world? So, yes, the Akita knows.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, how do you communicate to the Akita, I want to know what you know? And that would be impossible.
Do you guys remember this detail? Because as I looked this up, neighbors testified that they heard barking from Nicole's dog.
Yeah.
And do you remember that the dog's name was Cato?
Yeah.
As I read that, I totally remembered that.
Yeah, I did.
Named
I,
after, of course...
Cato Kaelin.
Yeah.
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 That wouldn't have held up in court, though.
Well, if,
no
if
it would have been
was,
rough.
But bum. If there was some way,
yeah.
You know, so... A testimony by dogs, if you will, can hold up in
That's
court.
That's happened. There's precedent for
yeah.
this. Yeah.
So not completely different circumstance. In cases of abuse, for example, they show that the dog is abused.
Yeah.
They also do, what are those shows called that do the blood work and all that stuff?
SVU.
Yes, yeah, all those things.
Criminal Minds.
Yeah. So I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but they do...
Forensics?
That's the word.
Ding, ding, ding.
Wow. Yes.
The duck did not come down.
Wow.
Crap.
Should have.
That was the best round of charades I've ever seen.
I'm very good at it.
That was very impressive.
She read my mind.
Yeah.
But you know what? It is, after all, very light reading.
Wow.
But nevertheless, you
did. It's a pamphlet.
Did. Yes, not even. It's a caption. But you read it. You read it. So there is forensic evidence that's accepted today in court, and there are experts, animal experts, that do that. They
but
actually
they wouldn't
do
use
that.
It in a murder trial, would they? I can't imagine
the
a situation.
Murder of a dog.
Maybe the murder of a dog, but I can't imagine a high-profile murder case that it would come down to the testimony of an Akita. That would be...
Today, what they could do that I don't think technically they could do back then, maybe they could, is if someone touched the dog, so if they wanted to know if O.J. was there, they can actually identify by DNA.
Yes, on the dog, you know, because the dog would know him.
Right.
But also, couldn't you tell the dog's reaction? If this is Nicole's dog, you'd think it knew O.J. and had met O.J. And if all of a sudden O.J. Was brought in front of this dog and this dog started acting very violently toward him because the dog saw what he did
right.
and was trying to protect Nicole.
Right.
I don't know.
But would the
We need a judge or...
Would the prosecutor ask the dog the question or would the prosecutor's dog be called into court to ask the question? Then it gets impossible.
Well, that's the thing. That's actually the problem. I mean, how do you know you're communicating what you think you're communicating to the dog?
Exactly.
And I don't think it would stand up in court. But
and speaking of court, weren't you just in court?
I was. It wasn't exactly court. It was the Village Hall of Lincolnwood. And Lincolnwood, which of course is a suburb right north of Chicago, wonderful suburb,
mm-hmm.
where they do some great things, have beautiful parks, incidentally. And of course, like lots of suburbs, lots and lots of dogs. And some number of years ago, I testified there, actually, unsuccessfully, because what they wanted to do, they did. And that is, they say, if your dog is a pit bull,
mm-hmm.
and they identify somehow, some way, your dog as a pit bull, that dog is instantly, automatically, it could be a little puppy, deemed dangerous, which means that it has to be kept in a yard, a sign has to be up that we have a dangerous dog. I'm not sure of what all the restrictions are, but there are restrictions, breed-specific restrictions for dogs that are called pit bulls. I say it that way because they're not really pit bulls.
It's a broad span.
Yeah, they have a look, and they are mixed breed dogs. So their police chief who was amazing. I mean, he came in with a stack of paperwork. In fact, some of the things that I've written or contributed to, I will say. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was huge. It was that big. It was like, you know, two feet high. I mean, and he said, here's the science behind why this idea really is not something we should be doing in Lincolnwood. And while Lincolnwood may have home rule, and I'm no lawyer, there's technicalities, the state of Illinois actually says no breed bans. We're one of the few states in America.
But were they asking for a breed ban as though if you had a pit bull, they would take the dog away? They weren't asking for that.
There were breed-specific restrictions where if you have a pit bull, there's all sorts of, or a dog called a pit bull, all sorts
and
of restrictions.
And a boxer looks like, if a dog is mixed with a boxer, it could really resemble a pit bull, and boxers are sweet.
Of course, you know, and pit bulls are sweet, whatever
they
are. It depends on the dog, but that's true for miniature schnauzers, poodles, the average mutt on the street.
Chihuahuas are the meanest breed ever.
Well, when you talk to, I have one of those, so be careful. But that's the point.
No, I love them, but my Auntie Celia's Chihuahua named Ricky used to bite at our heels every time we went to visit her.
Huh.
Every time. And I mean, it's this big. It's as big as, you know, you could a purse dog.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I scared of you?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. All right.
Well, it does. Those breed bans don't make sense. Lincolnwood now realizes that. They took an informal. I testified. There were a couple of people that did testify, and they took an informal vote. And according to that vote, they say that they are going to overturn, and there will be no breed ban at all or breed restrictions in Lincolnwood. So,
Steve, why Lincolnwood? Have there been a rash of some sort of dog attacks from pit bull?
I don't remember. I mean, this was originally in 2006 or so that they said we need to have this. It was kind of the thing to do
back then. So it's coming to court now.
And what's become a thing to do now is overturn these bans. The state of Ohio, the entire state, had a breed ban up until about, I think it was 2 years ago, and they overturned it. Now, some communities said we still want it, but as a state, they overturned it because what they have found, and I wrote with a veterinary behaviorist an entire position statement on this, essentially, they don't work. I mean, you want to breed ban or respond hoping to make your community safer.
Sure.
And it turns out it doesn't do that. It doesn't do anything.
I think this stemmed from the fact, didn't Lincoln have a dog named Kennedy?
And Kennedy had a dog named Lincoln,
I think that was
everybody knows that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, Steve, everybody knew that.
I did not.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. Do you have any questions or comments or recipes? 312-981-7200. Call us and we'll be right back.
You get it?
Cat scratch fever.
You don't want that, though.
No, nobody wants it.
No.
But you got to be careful, Steve. It'll catch up to you. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. He's here to answer all your noted pet questions. 312-981-7200 is our
phone
number.
I am a rocker.
I guess so.
She is.
I'll be a rocker sitting on a rocker by next year.
Yep.
Speaking of cat scratch fever, let's get a quick question in here from Mary. You got a little kitten?
The little kitten turned 1 year old on January 1st.
Happy birthday.
I know. He's a little wild child.
What's your question?
So I want to know the interval of switching over from kitten food to big boy food.
Great question.
I've read, you know, somewhere like 3 days and then some over a week or...
Gradual change.
Yeah,
is that true?
Yes. So Wendy just answered your question, really. That's right. Gradual change. So the more gradual you make it, the better it is. But there's no magic formula. So if you're looking for me to say 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, you know, there's no right answer to that. I would take my time, though, if I were you. So I'd say 5 or 7 days at least. Nothing wrong with taking even a week or more.
Okay, so like mixing in maybe a cup to a half a cup or a quarter cup of food?
Just take it slowly. Again, there's no magic formula. Just add in a little more adult food.
Like if you normally give the kitten a cup of food, maybe add a quarter of the adult food and then a couple days later. Yeah.
40%, 50%. Just increase it a bit.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Have fun with your kitty.
Yeah, what's his name?
Oh, we do. He's jumping all over me as we speak.
What's his name, Mary?
Okay, thank you.
What's his name? Your kitty's
name. None of your business, Wendy.
His name is Skippy.
Skippy.
Skippy the kid.
Sounds like he is Skippy.
Oh, yeah, the Skippy.
The Yippy Skippy one?
No, I don't remember that, Bill. Do you? You're a commercial
no,
god.
No, I don't remember Yippy Skippy. What is that for?
Skippy, and then in the commercial, you know, it talks about bad peanuts.
Oh, from
Skippy peanut butter.
Sure, all right.
Was that Annette Funicello?
No, she was Peter Pan.
Skippy, you know, and
oh, Jif. She was Jif, right? Oh.
Mary, we're just ignoring you now, so maybe I should let you go. Happy birthday, Skippy. Someone else has texted, got a question for you about, could you please ask Steve Dale about dog dental health? I heard a raw diet is better. I just spent nearly $400 on having my toy poodle's teeth cleaned with extractions. Thanks.
And Steve, this is Pet Dental Health Month, so what better time for this question than right now?
Look at you, homework
king. I know some stuff.
That's impressive. I went to get my teeth cleaned yesterday to celebrate.
Yeah.
I mean, we should all celebrate Pet Dental Health Month, which is February. No, raw food diet is not better for their teeth.
Really?
No. No, I'm not even sure at all that a raw food diet is better. I mean, it's not.
Like
I'm not
raw
a fan.
Meat and veggies and stuff like that?
Well, there's two ways to do it. One is to do what you just suggested. There are prepared raw food diets, which is the more common way to do it. But there's no indication in science anywhere I know of in science that it's better at all in any way.
For wild
in
dogs, fact, yeah, because that's what they
yeah,
had.
Yeah, but this is not what our domestic dogs
right.
are. So our domestic dogs actually have different needs than, say, wolves do. So those commercials that say, the wolf in your dog. Well, there is no wolf in my dog or your dog.
But they came from the same tree.
Well, we came
sort
from
of
cavemen.
Yes,
and
yeah.
you know, you
sort
don't of not, drag your wife around by her hair.
Not anymore. She hated that.
Well, I don't even know if the cavemen did that. That would be abuse, which
yes.
is not right.
Yes.
And speaking of abuse, and this is something when I saw in your topics what you wanted to cover, something that New York is doing that Chicago should be doing.
Yeah, so I had the honor of moderating a panel in New York City. They have a new program called UriPals, UIRIPALS, which simply gives an opportunity for people that have been in domestic abuse situations to flee to a place with their pets. And for the most part, in major cities and, in fact, in smaller cities, these shelters don't allow animals. And the problems,
and so you're not going to want to leave. It's
that's
tough
right.
to leave anyway, but to say, what am I going to do with my pet?
Yes. And what happens is, according to people I've talked to that have been abused, the abuser takes advantage of the fact that they know you love your pet. So they threaten the pet. They sometimes abuse the pet. This gets the pet out of that situation into a safe place as well. One thing they have found out in New York with this amazing program is it helps other people who don't have pets. So they have an opportunity to come up and talk, especially the kids.
Sure.
They will come up and talk to these dogs who are not their dogs and tell them their stories, as people do with dogs, you know, especially kids. But even adults do that. So there's a huge benefit, in fact, it turns out, to have these animals there.
Look up Google, people. You can Google and look a prisoner. A dog was brought into a prisoner cell. And it's a beautiful little video, how touching this is.
I'm not surprised. I mean, dogs touch your heart in a way that we don't even sometimes understand. But this also saves communities money because the dogs would otherwise perhaps end up at a shelter. That costs communities money and perhaps would be euthanized. So it's the humane thing to do. But moreover, it helps those family members. It helps other family members. I don't see a downside to this. If it's well run, well controlled, there's an alderman in Chicago who's very interested in the homeless and wants to see this happen here, James Kappelman. I credit him for that. And besides, in my opinion, if New York can do it, Chicago can do it better. So we need to do this here. And by the way, I need to say hello.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
Hello.
We've been talking to you for half an hour.
It was weird just in the middle
just
of this.
Now he says hello. What's with that?
Not from me, though. From our elevator company.
Oh.
Jeffrey Elevator loves you guys.
Is this the elevator you were stuck in?
Yes.
And did a show from?
Yes. And our elevator is down at the moment in our building. I'm
do
not
another
in
show.
It. I should break in and do a show from there. But they love you, and they're listening right now.
Woof, woof.
We press their buttons, Wendy.
Yes.
that's elevator stuff.
Yeah.
I love the
I'm
elevator
impressed
stuff.
With your elevator
you're
talk.
All right.
There is the Puppy Bowl that's coming up and the Super Bowl. Which are you going to watch or neither?
I would watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, the Puppy Bowl when the football game is going on. And I will be talking at this time on February 7th, which I guess is this, there's this game on TV
or
something.
There's a big football game coming up.
If I only would have known, but it's at Narnia Pet Behavior and Training. I'll be talking about misunderstandings that people sometimes have about reading their dogs. And Dr. John Sarabasi, veterinary behaviorist, who I wrote a book called Decoding Your Dog with, he will be speaking about separation anxiety in dogs, which perhaps we're seeing more of. For further information about all of this, by the way, the $50 fee goes to Pet Rescue. It doesn't go to me, and it doesn't go to Dr. Sarabasi. It's info at asoundbeginningprogram.com. Info at asoundbeginningprogram.com.
I feel terribly guilty because there are 5 calls and 10 texts that have questions for you, and we are out of time.
Maybe next time I just take phone calls.
You want to do that? We can do that. All right.
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever you want.
How can people reach you or hear you until then?
They could look at my blog, chicagonow.com/Steve Dale, and they could read more about that program we were talking about in New York City as well, and also about what Lincolnwood is doing to change their breed specific restrictions.
Steve, happy Pet Dental Health Month.
Yes!
Don't forget, floss.
We'll celebrate that at Tooth Hurdy. I can't stop with that joke. I know it's old and stupid and not even funny, but I just Tooth Hurdy.
Sure. That's good fun for everyone. Thank you, Steve.
Well, some of us.
A break, some news,
I'm out of here.
More show. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.